Genesis chapter number 47. Genesis chapter 47. The book of Genesis is famous for being the beginning. And that's because it's where in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But another thing you see in the book of Genesis is like a graveyard, because you see all the new beginnings, all the different people who they're gone now. They've passed away. It's like a large obituary in a sense. You remember that first death when Cain killed Abel, and then you go through and we've looked at different people like Abraham's death, and we saw Sarah's death. We've seen Isaac and Ishmael. We even just barely touched on when Jacob was weeping over Rachel's tomb. And this morning we're going to look at Jacob saying goodbye. Jacob's a wonderful Bible character. One of the things that most people like about Jacob is you can kind of relate to him. He had struggles, and the Bible reveals those struggles to him. And we can learn a lot about his lessons. But at the end of his life, we see him taking those steps of faith and living for God and doing what was right. And Jacob had a change. We remember that night when Jacob wrestled with God, and Moses appears speaking to Joseph and speaking to his sons, and he's saying goodbye to them. And I think any time that a person is his last words, his last thoughts towards the end of their life, it's really important to take notice here. And I think when we look at Jacob's life here, we're going to see some different thoughts here. Joseph goes and visits Jacob on his deathbed for the most part three different times. And you're going to see some special moments here. Jacob is facing something we must all face. We all must face death. The Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." And as we say goodbye to this wonderful Bible character, God has preserved in his word these last special thoughts. And you think about it, if you know you're getting ready to pass away, you want those who are closest to you, and you're going to say to them things that are important to them. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the three different interviews or three different times Joseph spends time with his father right before he passes away, and then we're going to make some application to it. And bear with me. I think at the end of the message, you'll understand the point we're getting to. But these are some precious times. Last week, we talked about the precious moments in life and how we need to make sure we're in the right spot doing what we're supposed to so we can enjoy those precious moments in life. When we talk about Joseph falling on his father's neck and crying and weeping with him when they were reunited. Jacob now has been in Egypt for a number of years. And let's go ahead and read some verses here, and I'm going to stop and tell a little bit of story, give some commentary on some of the verses as we go along, and we're going to preach a message called Jacob Says Goodbye. Let's start here in Genesis chapter 47. Let's start in verse number 28, and the Bible says, "And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly." Now, we see here, Pastor, you said Jacob saying goodbye. Well, we remember when Jacob wrestled with God, God changed his name from Israel. Jacob, the word meant a trickster, where the Israel means the prince of God. So there's been a change. There's been a dramatic change in his life. When Israel or Jacob finally said, "God, finally, you can have it all. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." He held on to God, and God made a change in his life. He wasn't perfect after that, but we see here that he stayed in this land, and it says he stayed in this land for 17 years. Now, you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, you think about it. In Egypt, there would have been a lot of temptations. In the land of Goshen, the country of Goshen, there would have been a lot of temptations. For a man named Jacob, he probably would have been tempted. He might have fell. But we see here that his heart is in Canaan. It says in verse 28, "And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years old." So he lived a good long life. Verse 29, "And the time drew nigh that Israel must die." He knew he was going to die soon. What does he do? "He called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt." Now, I was reading these verses and I thought it was special. I can imagine Jacob here. He's an older man. He does not have much strength left. His eyes are very dim. And we all know maybe some people that are up in age, how their body is very frail. And Jacob calls for Joseph, and Jacob tells Joseph, and you look what it says. He says, deal kindly and truly with me. I think he's saying, look, don't just flatter me here. I want you to listen to me. You know, sometimes when you're dealing with an older person, and sometimes you think, well, maybe they're not all in their right mind, or maybe they really don't know what's important. Sometimes you'll just say, okay, and you say you're going to do something, but you don't do it anyway because you don't think they really know what's best. Jacob says, no, I'm not going to put up with that. Joseph, I want you to listen to me. I want you to deal truly with me. I want you to deal kindly with me. He says, verse number 30, he says, look, first of all, he says, bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. He did not want to be buried in Egypt. He wanted to be buried in the land of his fathers. It says in verse 30, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. So he says, look, I do not want to be buried here. This is not my home. I think it's wonderful that these 17 years that he is here in this land, Egypt might be his home, but it's not where his heart is at. And we need to be careful. I think something we can apply to our own lives. As we see Jacob, we see where he's at spiritually at these 17 years. He realizes he has to be there. This is part of God's plan. His family is multiplying exceedingly in verse number 27. There's a reason, there's a purpose what's going on here. But he's saying, look, this is not where my heart's at. This is not where my home's at. My heart, my eyes are set on Canaan. And I think we can apply that to our lives in this world that we live in today. You know what? We had to live in this world, but we do not have to be of this world. Our hearts should be in a heavenly place. They should not be here in this world. Verse 31, and he said, swear unto me, and he swore unto him. You can see, at least when I talk to older people, you know, sometimes they want reassurance. This is what you're going to do. This is what I want done. And that's what I think Jacob is doing with Joseph. He says, look, don't just say yes, swear it unto me. He wanted to make sure. That's how important it was. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. So we see the first interview, the first encounter there. We see that Jacob's home is still in Canaan, even though he lives in Egypt. Second interview here, let's look in chapter 48, verses 1 through 11. Chapter 48, verses 1 through 11, it says, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. So we see that someone comes and tells Joseph, once again, he's prime minister, he's sitting on his throne, he is the one that's in charge of Egypt here. He says, look, your dad's sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Why would he do that? He wants Jacob to bless him. He wants Israel to give them a blessing like they would do in the Jewish culture or the Hebrew culture. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Now, I don't know about you, but I love picturing the Bible. And I see Israel's there. He's sick. He doesn't have much strength. He might even think he might be dying. He's laying in his bed. And then somebody comes up to him and says, hey, look, Joseph's coming. And I can picture him just mustering up all his strength just to kind of get enough strength to sit at the edge of a bed. I don't know how many times you visit someone in a hospital or you've gone to their house and maybe they've been sick and then they're excited to see you. So they are mustering up the strength just to have a conversation with you. And I picture Jacob coming up and he's mustering up his strength. He wants to speak to his son. He wants to give his son the blessing. And we see here the story that Joseph brings his boys. Verse 3, and Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. So these are some of the parting words he has with his sons. What does he talk about? He talks about God's presence in his life. He talks about how God met with him and God talked with him. We talked about the two different times where Jacob saw the angel when he met with God and he became a Christian or a believer. And then we also talked about the time where he wrestled with God. Verse number 4, and he said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Both of those times, he could be speaking on both those occasions, not sure which one, but I think he's just referring to how God's presence was with him. Verse number 5, and now thy sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. And now he is actually adopting Joseph's sons. He say, why would he do this? Well, I believe that he is considering Joseph to be worthy of the double portion. back in the Hebrew culture, the firstborn son would get the double portion. And that's what Joseph's boys, he is making them sons so that way they can also receive the same amount of portion. So Joseph would have a double portion. They would have the same rights. They would have the same authority in the land of Canaan as the other 10 boys. And it says here, into Egypt are mine. So they are actually saying, I am adopting them as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue which shall begettest after them shall be thine. He says, look, if you have more children, they can be yours, but these two are mine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. So he is giving Joseph the double portion there. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way. You see this older man here reliving his life, talking about the things that are important to him, when God's presence was real to him, when his beloved wife passed away in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, and the same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and says, who are these? And I don't know if the boys are sitting in the background. I don't know if he is so dim to where he cannot see them, but he realizes there's two other people there, and he asks them. And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God have given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I shall bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto them, and he kissed them and embraced them. I'm sure these boys loved getting kissed by their 147-year-old grandfather. But you think this is a special time. They imagine the withered lips pressing against the young skin of the boys. I don't know about you, but I can picture that. It's beautiful here. He's getting ready to bless these children. This is precious. Now, and it says verse number 11, Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. Remember, for all those years, Israel thought Joseph was dead. And he says, not only did God let me see your face, God also let me see your boys. That's special to him. He is saying goodbye to this world. He's saying goodbye to his beloved son. And he's saying, look at how good God has been to me. Look at what it says in verse number 15 now. Skip down to verses 15 to 16. I want to show you how Israel, and he blesses the boys. We're not going to get into that. It takes a little bit of time that we don't have this morning. It says in verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. He talks about how God took care of him. Verse 16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let thy name be upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow in the multitude in the midst of the earth. And let's now skip down to verses 21 and 22. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die. He realizes he's getting ready to die. He realizes there's nothing he can do about it. And what does he want to say to his son? Before, more than anything else, what does he want to say to his son? He says, but God shall be with you. He's giving this impression here. This is what's important. He says, God will be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. He's saying, look, God is going to be with you. He is going to return you again to Canaan. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. He say, I don't ever remember that being mentioned. Well, throughout these chapters, there's a lot of prophecy going on. We don't know if there was a time and a place where he redeemed the land that maybe Abraham had bought earlier, or if he's speaking of in the future of what his sword and his bow, referring to his children and his heritage, was going to do. Verse 49, verse number 1, we won't spend much time in chapter 49, just a couple of verses. And Jacob called unto his sons. Now, this is not just Joseph. This is all the sons, and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. It's kind of interesting. He says, sons of Jacob, Israel your father. Verses 3, all the way down to verse number 27, he is blessing and he is cursing, in a sense, speaking of the shortcomings of his sons. It's a wonderful Bible study. We're not going to get into that because that's not the point of the message this morning. But if you ever want to take a look at it, look at how he was prophetic and look at how the different Israels and the different tribes came to be that way that he described even on his deathbed. Let's go all the way down to verse 28 through 33, and we're going to finish up with these verses here. It says, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Now, once again, that's a really interesting, he's saying, look, I want to make sure I get buried in the right spot. He says, bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittites. Now, in verse number 31 says, there they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Now, once you take that look at that phrase a couple times, we're going to talk about it in a little while, gathered unto his people. And it says in verse 29, I am to be gathered unto my people. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us as we preach this sermon. Jacob says goodbye. Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the people that are here today. Lord, I pray you work in our hearts and minds. Help us remember that we all face death. We all have the opportunity to talk about how you've worked in our hearts and lives throughout the years. And Lord, as we look at Jacob's life, we remember what he said, that God shall be with you. Lord, help us to leave this place excited, knowing that God is always with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there's three things I want you to think about here. Three things we're going to focus on. That phrase, but God shall be with you, that's found in 4:48 and verse 21. He is getting ready to die, and he has one thing he wants to make sure he tells his son. He says, look, I want you to remember this, is that God will always be with you. You know, in that little phrase, there is so much we can learn. There's so much we can grab a hold of. We can always remember that God is with us. You know, we are never alone as Christians. We do not go into our automobiles alone. We do not go to our jobs alone. We do not live in our lives and in loneliness. Christ is a constant companion. We have a divine companionship. Wherever we go, God goes with us. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6, Moses is encouraging the people. He's letting them know that Joshua is going to be in charge, that he is going to die. The people are mourning him. Moses has been an outstanding leader. He has been the one that has brought them to the brink of the land of promise. And he says to them, he says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He's saying, look, you're going to face challenges you've never faced before, but don't be afraid. God is going to go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In other words, Moses was saying, I want you to remember, whatever you come up against, it is no match for God, and God will never forsake you. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I think about this older man, 147 years old, getting ready to face death. And he looks to his boy. He says, God will be with you. I don't know about you, but that's comforting to me. That's something that we need to hold on to. So many times we are called to go through hard, difficult circumstances in life. And what else can we say? But you know what? God is going through it with you. I know as a pastor, I have had the privilege and the opportunity to go and sit next to someone who is facing maybe circumstances that I could not comprehend and I cannot go through with them because their circumstances, it's their hardships. As much as we like to help them, sometimes the only thing you can say is, I don't know what else to tell you, but that God will go with you. God is with you. God has promised you that he will never leave you and never forsake you. And Joseph is watching his beloved father pass off on the scene, and he is hearing from his father these truths. God's going to be with you. There's three things I want you to think about when it comes with God is with you. First of all, when God is with you, you will have God's presence. When God is with you, you will have God's presence. I remember as the verses that we read here in chapter 48 and verse number 3, he talks about how God appeared to him at Luz in the land of Canaan. He came to the spot and he said, remember back when I told you a story when I met with God. Or maybe he told the story when he saw the stairs and the ladder, the angels going up and down. And he talks about maybe when he wrestled with God at Bethel, all those different things. He says to Joseph, when you realize that God is with you, you will always realize that his presence is with you too. In John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus is getting ready to die, getting ready to go off on the scene. He's getting ready to give his life for the sins of mankind. And he tells them, he's getting ready to move. He says, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. He's referring to the Holy Spirit of God, that he may abide with you forever. And he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's exciting. When you realize that God is not going to leave us, that God is with us, God's presence is always with us. It actually says, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If you're a child of God, the Almighty God is living in you today. The same God who created this world, the same God who made the human body, is present with you. How many times do we live our lives never remembering this? And that's what Jacob tells Joseph. I want you to remember this. He says, God will be with you. Remember his presence. That I told you I was with me in Luz. And remember the presence that was with me at Bethel. And when we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, he makes us children of God. We are born again, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes to live within us, and he dwells with us forever. We have his presence. I don't know about you, but that's something that is something to rejoice over. The presence of God is with us. And I know we could preach a whole other message, you know, since God is with us, there are some certain things we should do and there are certain things we shouldn't do. That's not what Jacob's trying to tell him. Jacob, 147 years old, he's sick, he's struggling, he's trying to get to the edge of the bed to see his favorite child, to be able to bless his grandchildren. And he says, before I die, I want you to remember this, God will be with you. And when God is with you, his presence is with you. And remember, no matter what you're going through in your life, God is right there with you. I know that sometimes you sit next to your loved one that is sick, or you sit next to a parent that's really struggling, or a child that may be sick, and you don't know. It's overwhelming. It's hard to deal with, and you're wondering, how in the world can I make this happen? You got to remember, God's with you. His presence is there. Rely on his presence. Second thing is, not only is God's presence with you, but also, if God is with you, God's power is with you. You think about it. Not only is his presence with you, but because he is with you and because his presence is with you, guess what? Power is with you too. You think about it. Jacob's life makes a really interesting study. Jacob has seen days of disappointment, days of heartache, but by God's power, he was sustained until his dying day, and he could look at his favorite child and say, look, God's going to be with you. He doesn't look at him and say, look, you made a good life in Egypt. Be happy here. Get as many kids as you can. Do all the things that you can. Enjoy life to the fullest. Don't worry about Canaan. No, no, he says, God's going to be with you. Don't ever forget that. I think about when he's in chapter 48, when he talks about in verse number 7 about Rachel dying. I don't know about you. I think about Rachel and the story of Jacob and how he loved her so much. It seemed like he worked 7 years, but it didn't seem like it was even a day because he loved her so much. And then they were so excited. For so long, they waited for their first child to be born. Remember the problems between Rachel and Leah and how they even gave each of their handmaids to Jacob. And they all had children, but Rachel didn't have children. And they were burdened. And I'm sure they prayed and they sought God for years. And they finally had Joseph. And they were so excited. And they were praising the Lord for Joseph. And then years later, she's pregnant again. I mean, they're thrilled. Not just one, but two. But while having Benjamin, she dies. Imagine the excitement that Jacob would have been there. You know, his beloved wife for so long was barren. Now she gets to have another child. But there was a problem during the childbirth. And she slips off into eternity. How do you deal with that? See, God's strength is what can get you through. See, he's looking at Joseph and saying, Joseph, God's presence is going to be with you. God's strength is going to be with you too. And that's what he's reminding him of those things. Even when he looked at Joseph, he says, I never thought I was going to see your face again. You were my favorite child. I thought that I sent you on a journey that you were killed in. And he says, there's no way I could have made through any of those things, but it was God's strength. He says, and now God has blessed me beyond all measure that not only have I seen your face, but I've seen your children's face too. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that God is with you and God's presence is with you, but God's power is with you. As a song we heard earlier, His grace is sufficient for us. He has the ability and power to let us go through any circumstance, any situation. And I know that some of us are sitting back and looking at how hard things are in our lives, and we're wondering what's going to make things work. We're wondering how things are going to happen. Jacob here at 147 years old says, look, I can't do anything about dying, but I can tell you one thing. God will be with you, and God's presence was with me in Bethel, and God's power was with me when I had to bury my wife, Rachel, that I never thought I had to bury that early. I thought she was going to raise you and your brother with me, and she's gone now. I had no way to be able to do this but through God's power and God's strength. I think God pushes us sometimes. People say God doesn't give us things that we can't handle, and that's true. When we understand that He pushes us to the breaking point so we realize we need Him and Him alone. He gives us more than we can handle so we can learn to depend upon Him. Because with God, all things are possible. And with God's help and God's presence and God's power, we can handle all things. But when you try to do on your own strength, you're going to fall apart. And that's where we come at in this scripture. We have this 147-year-old man who is struggling just to make it to the edge of his bed to speak to his son. And he says, God will be with you. I know God's presence. I know God's power. He saw me through when Rachel died. He saw me through for those 17 years that I never saw your face. Only way I made it through was by God's power. I don't know about you in your life. That is a hard lesson to learn. But it's a lesson that I'm learning slowly. And the Bible tells us in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. And I tell you, sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives that it just seems so overwhelming. And it seems like, I don't know how I'm going to handle it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know how I'm going to respond. And it seems like the whole world is crashing in around me. And I turn around and say, God, I can't do this. I need your help. You know what? The next week, after everything's done and said, I look back and say, I don't know why I was worried to begin with. Because God saw me through it. And you go back on your life and you look, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you know God's presence is real and you know God's power is real, you know 5 years ago when you were facing that tragedy, you know what? God didn't forsake you and everything's good today, and you learned some things, and you wouldn't change that tragedy because of the things you learned, because you felt God's presence, you saw God's power, and now you know God's peace. And that's the third thing. That's a great thing when God's with you. You're going to see, you're going to feel His presence. You're going to have His power available, but you're going to understand His peace. See, Jacob here, I don't know about you. I've seen people who have been worried about a lot of things. I've seen people who have been fearful of death. I've seen people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ before, and even while on their deathbed, they're concerned and they want to be reassured. Now, I understand that. But we don't see that in Jacob's life here. Jacob is here. Once again, I still see him mustering up his strength just to be able to sit on the edge of the bed to talk to Joseph. And he says, God will be with you. He says, I'm about ready to die. He says in 48:21, says, Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. He was at peace with it. He could do nothing to stop his human strength from forsaking him. His life was totally out of his hands. He is going to die, and he says, you know what? God is going to bring you into the land of promise. He had complete peace about it. I think it's really interesting. You look in chapter 49, verse number 33. I mentioned it at the end. He says, and was gathered unto his people. You go up to verse number 29, and it says, and he charged him. He says, I am to be gathered unto my people. You know, some people think that's referring to where he's going to be buried. I don't think that's the case, because he talks about taking care of the burying thing later on. He says, bury me with my fathers. I think he's saying, I'm going up to heaven to be with my family. I'm being gathered to my people. I'm going to where Abraham's at. I'm going to where Isaac is at. I'm going to where Sarah's at. I'm going to where, he says, I'm going to be gathered unto my people. I'm headed to a place, and I know it wasn't heaven at that moment in time. It was paradise. You can correct me later if you want, but he was going to be with them. He was being gathered to them. He didn't talk about being buried till later on, and he was at complete peace. He understood that because God was going to be there with him. He understood that he had God's presence. He understood that God's power was available to see him through the hardships, but he understood God's peace. He says, look, I'm leaving this place. I'm being gathered of my people. That city that I've been looking for, as it talks about in Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, I haven't reached the promised land and the idea, but I'm headed to that city whose builder and maker is God. I'm headed to that place that they have promised me, and I'm redeeming that promises that have been given. He believed in God's promises. God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. He says, look, this is peace. I do not have any human strength to do anything else. My life is totally out of my hands. I am going to die, but I want you to know that God is going to bring you into the land that he promised. Jacob had perfect peace. He had God's peace, that the Lord was in control and the Lord was going to work everything out perfectly. Why are people worrying today? So many people worry today. Do you know why? It's because they fail to see the promises of God that are true. Why are Christians so upset and get so stressed out? It's because they forget that God's presence with them, that God is right there with them in the hospital room, that God is right there with them when the sleepless nights are going on. God is right there with them when the financial problems are going bad. God is right there with them when it seems like the world's being turned upside down. God's presence is there. And God's power is available. And that can help us understand God's peace. How many things today would you like to place in God's hand that says, here it is, you can have them? It can be done. Because Jacob said it. God shall be with you. We need to learn to say, God, I'm going to rest in you. God can take care of our difficulty, whether it be a person, a problem, a need, a family, or a decision. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing but in everything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I've been a Christian for a lot of years, and I have failed God many times in many ways, but there's never been once that God's failed me. And if we will learn that, like Jacob said, at the age of 147, just climbing out of his bed, just trying to get to the edge of the bed so he could talk to his favorite son, and says, look, God's going to be with you. If we can learn that God is with us, it will help us remember his presence, help us understand that God's power is available to us, but also help us understand what God's peace is all about. One of the problems in a Christian's life today is we worry too much. Jacob came to the place where he said goodbye to Joseph. He said, it's good to see you. It's good to see the boys that God has given you. He says, but they're going to be my boys now. He says, because I'm preparing for something. I'm preparing for the day when you get to the land of Canaan, and that I want to make sure they each have their own portion. What is he doing? He's planning for the future. He's dying. He's in Egypt. Why is that? Because he has God's peace on their heart. How do we plan? We plan for the future. But the world's going haywire. The world's going crazy. Yes, but God's still with us. Amen. We still have the presence of God. We still have the power of God available. And we have the peace of God that can be with us too. We need to live our lives in peace, trusting Him and letting God and yielding ourselves to Him. See, what worry does for us, it disconnects us from the power of God. It's there. Worry gets us to the point where we forget about the presence of God. And he's there, but we don't live our lives like that. That's a dangerous place to be. So when we have our faith and trust placed in him, we can understand the peace of God. And we realize, yeah, some things are tough. Yeah, some things are hard. Yeah, some things are out of our control. But when we remember that God is going with us, we can remember his presence. We can have power available and have the peace of God. Now, you say, how can he have such peace? Well, you think about it. Death is coming to all of us. The Bible says, and as appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. But see, Jacob had peace because he knew the person who was going to conquer death. It's the reason why I can have peace today as a Christian, and knowing that death does not scare me, is because of the fact that I know what's going to happen to me after I die, because Jesus Christ conquered death for me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50, 55 through 57, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there are a lot of people who are afraid of death. There's a lot of people who are afraid of the grave. It's because they don't know the one who conquered death. And this morning, if you don't have the peace of God in your heart, if you're not sure what happened to you after you die, the Bible teaches us that we can know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we can believe in Him and receive Him as our personal Savior, and we can actually have that peace of God in our life too. Because that phrase that Jacob said to Joseph was because Joseph knew the same God that Jacob did. But if you don't know God, He's not going with you. You can't have the presence of God and the power of God and the peace of God in your life unless you know Him personally. And how do you get to know Him personally? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You listen to Jacob, a 147-year-old man. He's not talking about a lot of things that we would talk about at the end of our lives. What he is saying to Joseph is, God's going with you. Don't ever forget that. And he reminds him of God's presence. He reminds him of the difficulties he faced. And I think what he's saying there is, God's power got me through this. And to be honest with you, whatever difficulty you're going through today, God's power can get you through this. Because I understood God's presence, I felt God's presence and saw God's power, I have God's peace on my life. Is that your case today? Are you an individual that has the peace of God that passes all understanding in your life? You say, Pastor, you make it sound so easy. I know it's not easy. I see Jacob's life and I see the turmoils and trials he went through. I see where he messed up and where he made mistakes. But at the end of his life, he could say, God was with me and God will be with you too. Remember His presence. See His power. Feel His peace. This morning, if you're not a Christian, not sure about your heavenly home, we're going to have an invitation in a second. Say, what's an invitation? Well, we invite people to come forward if God's spoken to their heart to pray around the altar. And what we encourage you to do is come forward and come see me. And I'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you can have the same peace that Jacob had that's offered to you. And to the believers in the room, this is something we need to hear. God shall be with you. He's with you every moment of every day. Understand His presence. Know His power is available. And feel His peace. He's with you. But are you living your lives like that? Because, yes, it's easy to worry. But God doesn't want us to do that. He says, be careful for nothing. He wants you to give everything over to Him. Remember, His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He wants to carry that for you today. Jacob had given all of his body was about ready to die, give it all up. He says, I can't do anything with this. It's all up to God. But the secret is, even when our bodies are strong, even when we have money in the bank, even when we have friends, is to say, I can't do any of it. God, it's all up to you. Whether you're 147-year-old on the deathbed, or an able-bodied person that can do anything, it's coming to the point to realize that God is present with you, that it's God's power that accomplishes things, and it's God's peace that can keep us satisfied. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.